So let's just start with, we're here outside of City Hall today, hearing the sounds of the fountain.
Summer, the sound of summer.
Summer, passerbys, yeah. A lot of things happening, especially this Saturday. On this very spot will be the big annual Bloomington Festival, the Taste of Bloomington.
That's right.
And it's also the home of the community's farmer market, two big economic drivers, I assume, of downtown Bloomington.
They are. They're exactly the kind of things that we mean when we talk about quality of life as economic development. You've got the farmer's market, obviously, then the Taste, and as well as the Arts Fair on the Square, which is expanded now off the Square and onto Kirkwood. So it's the kind of thing that's bringing people in. It's an amenity for people who live here. But all in all, it's driving the economy by way of quality of life amenities.
Let's get through the parking changes that took
sure.
effect Monday. The hours have decreased
right.
on the meters.
Right.
You changed to a pay-as-you-go system. Some of the parking garages have changed. What's been the overall reaction so far?
We're literally into the first few days. So, you know, the reaction that we've heard was more when the council first made the changes that we, obviously people were happier to have fewer hours. My preference was 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. As a reversal from the 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. that there had been. Instead, the council went with 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., so I think that's improvement. It allows people to conduct early morning business in town, but also for those who come for dinner and maybe a show or any other form of entertainment, or just to have a leisurely dinner and stay at the same place for a couple of hours. You aren't paying that full evening's worth of metering. The other change is the one that I think people would have received the best, but I'm not sure we've explained it well enough that everyone understands it, and that is the pay-as-you-go. That if you used, right now, if you went a week ago, if you parked downtown, you'd have to feed the meter, and that kind of meter roulette, where you'd feed the meter, trying to predict how long you're going to be there, and if something held you up, you either run back to feed your meter or risk getting a ticket. The option was to use Park Mobile, but even then, you have to predict about how long you'll be, and then the app reminds you that your time is up and you can feed the meter remotely. And even that had a downside, and that is that you have to pay a fee each time you use that app. So what we've done instead now is that when you park and you choose to use Park Mobile, the mobile app, which, believe me, it's incredibly simple. It's free to download, free to sign up for. You only pay once you use it. But you punch in the fact that you've parked in the zone and the number is on the meter in that area. And then you punch it again when you leave. So you pay for literally the number of minutes that you were there. And the downside of it, the concern that we have, is that people will forget to turn that off when they leave. And if they do so, it will continue up till 9 p.m. to charge you. And we won't be able to reimburse people. That'll be a relationship between Park Mobile and the customer. So that's a concern. We're going to put up more signage to remind people of that and continue to do advertising, PSAs about that, and try to get the word out.
We put a web post up asking people for their opinions, and it's still open
Great.
For people. Parking downtown is getting fixed. We had Bloomington Bagel, whoop whoop, get your bagel fix on without worrying about the parking meters.
Yeah.
You talked about the pay-as-you-go. Another passerby who said, Joe, the next time you do the Ask the Mayor, they were wondering why the meter, there are meters for every spot and not a parking numbering and pay station like an Indy. The reason why they ask is they thought perhaps it would be cheaper to operate and less visual
clutter
on the
Yeah,
square.
You know, we looked at that, and we've had people in Indy tell, we talked to a lot of communities before we went the metering route, and one of the concerns they have there is that people are parking and leaving and not realizing that they're at a metered spot. They didn't see the pay station. So there's upside, downsides of all of it, and but they're right, and that's one of the attractions to me would have been that a pay station at the corners would have reduced clutter of metering up and down the street. So, you know, we're gonna actually try a little bit more of that pay station approach in some of the parking lots as we move forward, and we're gonna see whether that's something that is a problem or not.
And we heard from a Bloomington business, I assume most of the businesses are on board with these changes.
Well, again, I never wanna speak for all of anybody, but we had a lot of businesses who were pleased with the way the meters were. Now, I know that that's counter to what some might believe, but there were a couple of businesses who expressed concern about reducing metering because they're now concerned that at 9 p.m. Downtown residents, primarily students, will start to warehouse their car until 9 a.m. the next morning, and that's blocking out their later night customers. So, you know, we're going to measure that. We're going to watch and see how the spaces are utilized during the time that's not metered just as much as we study it during the time that they are.
Let's move to streetscapes. How does IU and the city work together in terms of road construction and maintenance? Are there shared streets, or does IU actually own the streets? And I'm kind of the example I give will be the Jordan Avenue, what's all happening on Jordan Avenue on campus.
Right, it depends where you are. And so the answer is yes and yes. The city and the university both have designated streets that are owned by those entities. For instance, 7th Street through the campus is the university's. Jordan, however, is entirely maintained by the city. And yet, just to complicate things a little bit more, many times we have partnerships. It has been, in my 12 years, it has been nothing but fantastic relationship when it comes to maintenance of streets and then also different road projects. And Jordan Avenue is a great example of the university came to the city and said, look, this is your street, but we have a streetscape that we would like to put in for the beautification of the campus, safety, and usability for pedestrians and cyclists. And so that's actually a university project on a city-owned street. We'll maintain the street, the university will maintain the amenities that accompany that. The same is true on Woodlawn out to the stadium. City-owned, but the university is doing the improvements for university purposes. So again, it's a partnership between the two. There are times that it's worked in reverse. There was city property at the corner of Atwater and Henderson when we wanted to signalize that intersection, when the council insisted that intersection be signalized. The university allowed us to have land there as a trade-off for some things at 3rd and Jordan. So there's just been a great working relationship between the university and the city government when it comes to streets.
Since we last talked, the Planning Committee for Redevelopment of the IU Health Bloomington Hospital met for the first time. In the whole realm of this process, which I think we know is going to take some time, is that the issue, time?
Well, it is in part. Let me have you flesh that out. When you say, is that the issue, you mean the initial issue?
Or? Yeah. Just in terms of redeveloping that, is it fast paced, or is it? Is time your worst enemy in this whole process?
You know, actually, in my mind, time is probably our best friend in that we will have long time to negotiate the terms of the reutilization of that site. And I want to remind everyone, the hospital owns that land. This isn't government coming in and taking it by eminent domain or dictating what it will be. This is a negotiation with an important community partner. And this is going to take time, though, for the new project to occur. And that's probably maybe a year away before anything starts, and three or more years before the project would be usable out on the bypass. So that does give us plenty of time. We're not under some deadline to get things determined as to what will happen. And then you've got all those buildings and a decision as to whether or not we'll reutilize those buildings, tear them down, a little bit of both. Whether the parking garage out there might be usable for some other development that could occur. And so there are all those kind of decisions, and we really do want to invite people. The reason I say time is our friend is, one, the decision-making time, but also public input time. So we really want to encourage people to participate and let us know what you would like to see happen at that site. And one easy way to do it is at bloomington.in.gov/hospital. And there you can sign up to receive email alerts about when future meetings are going to be, and also an opportunity to provide input, to submit comments. We'll have at least two public hearings to allow people to come and talk about what they would like to see at the site. Not for us to talk about what we're planning for the site or want to see at the site, simply to receive public input. And so there's plenty of time to do that, and that's what we'll be doing in the upcoming months.
It seems interesting to me that it doesn't seem like there's a path that this is going. It's more maybe described as like a spokes of a tire, where right now you're in the center and there's many different ways to go. Is that accurate?
In many ways it can't. Absolutely. I think that's a good analogy, because in which direction we'll go. And it could be multiple directions. This could be, for instance, it could be entirely a new neighborhood, just another neighborhood. You got Prospect Hill. You have a neighborhood that could be the McDowell Garden. Just like those neighborhoods grew, this could be a new neighborhood. This could be another health-related facility, another health-related site. It could be multi-use. My guess is it'll be a combination of those things. I mean, it's a lot of acreage and a lot of existing buildings. So, you know, I think everyone knows what the negotiation points are. What's going to happen, who's going to pay for it, and how long it will take to get done. So a big goal to me, where time isn't our friend, is after that 3 years plus goes by and the hospital actually has moved to the bypass, we do not want to see that site dormant. We don't want to see abandoned buildings. We don't want to see urban blight. And I can assure you, I've already talked with Mark Moore, CEO of the hospital, and he's made it clear they don't want to see that either.
This may somewhat be in the same realm. We talked about last time about the super TIF district that was approved.
Yeah.
I think that happened just a few days after our last asked the mayor, and you did mention that plans were in place to move forward with many things, including Switchyard Park.
Right.
It's been, I know it's only been a month, but maybe a few things have moved since
we
talked on that?
Quite a few things have, in fact, and not only has all the TIFs been consolidated into the super TIF, but also on the heels of that was the bond that we now have issued through the council. And I really want to applaud that city council. It passed that bond, which is a sizable request, unanimously after some pretty thorough study and discussion. And as I mentioned to the council when I spoke to them about it, I certainly won't be here when those bond dollars are being used. Some of those council members won't be there. And in fact, not only in this next term, the next four-year term that those council members will serve, some of these things will be happening for decades beyond that, and the Switchyard is one of those. So already what we've been doing is moving forward to get site design done on the Switchyard, already looking at vendors to do the animal shelter expansion, looking at vendors in terms of acquisition of LED lighting. So with the money having been approved, we'll be going to the RDC, again, another public meeting, and then ultimately the council will continue to consider projects as we move forward, and the community will have multiple opportunities to comment on the projects that we're going to fund through that bond. But it's already started.
Going back, I think most of the things that we hear about is about the Switchyard Park. There seems to be a level of excitement about that anytime that comes up in our reporting. Any time frame to be able to tell these people in terms of when there's a groundbreaking of sorts?
Yeah, if you go back to the Ask the Mayor vault, you'll find we talked about this some time ago, and I mentioned that even if it was approved at that day, whatever day we did that interview, that it would be about a 44 to 48 month process to get the project going. So we're funding two phases of the Switchyard. It's probably three quarters of the entirety of the project. But I think this next year, the remainder of 2015 and into 2016, will still be in the design phase. And I would think that you might not see any kind of groundbreaking until second quarter of 2016.
Any other projects that you'd like to update us on with that TIF, such as Tech Park or the?
Yeah,
you mentioned a little bit already, but
yeah, I can say LED lighting being installed different places. You'll start to see change over time, and the big ones are the Switchyard, the Certified Tech Park, the animal shelter expansion, and all three of those are going to involve design phases and then contracting out the actual development. So these are all things that will extend beyond my term and into 2016.
I believe just today, the South Bend mayor just came out in the newspaper article he wrote as gay and the importance of coming out.
Yeah.
Being that this is a mayor show and you're a mayor, what does that say to you about LGBT issues in cities here in Indiana?
Well, first I want to say Pete is one of the best mayors you're going to find in the state. And in fact, I still view him as someone who's going to be a statewide candidate, I hope, sometime soon, whether it be at the federal level, whether it be at the state and state government. This is, to me, the Democratic Party of the future. I have to say, I'm really proud of him for having made his statement. I still long for the day where that's not necessary, where it's just as a heterosexual mayor doesn't need to make an announcement, that you don't have to say, I'm gay, when you're in public office. Now, I did respect the fact that he did that. I think he's going to serve as a role model for young people who want to be in public office but are concerned that perhaps because they haven't, quote unquote, come out, that that's something that they have to be concerned about. I just long for the day where it's not an issue, but You know, I think we've seen at the state level with the same-sex marriage discussion and now RFRA, which again, I think the Republican Party made a huge mistake, one, in introducing it, two, in passing it, but three, in not clarifying it in a much different way. Repeal would have been the best way to have done it, but at least to have acknowledged gender identity, sexual orientation, and our non-discrimination statutes would have been important. And I think things like what Pete has done with his statement makes it more commonplace for people to hear. It demystifies it for those who are concerned about it for whatever reason. And I think in this next legislative session, we'll see, I hope, a rush. But I will tell you, I have a selfish Democratic reason. I think it'd be good for the Democratic candidates if the Republicans don't repeal parts of RFRA or don't recognize sexual orientation or gender identity in the state statutes. But for the public policy reasons and for the good of the state, I sure hope they do, and I expect that they will.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to say?
I think that does it. Happy summer to everyone, and then we'll enjoy kind of our other Bloomington where our population drops considerably, and then we look forward to the return of everyone back in August.